Hello, friends. Welcome to the Words of Life program. Each week, we present a gospel broadcast in order to share information about Jesus, the Savior, the Christ. This week, our speaker, Brother David Johnson, will tell us about spiritual gifts. His lesson is based on Paul's letter to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. Words of Life is a radio ministry of Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers. Today, you will hear songs of praise, prayer, and a sermon by Brother David Johnson.
Jesus, our Savior.
Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, as we humble ourselves before you in prayer, we recognize that you are God and that salvation is found only in Jesus. Thank you for sending him as the light of the world. Lord, please use this program for your glory. Bless each of our listeners with understanding and convictions that are needed. We also ask for the healing of their bodies as needed and the power of your peace. Bless the persecuted throughout the world and thank you for their faith. And Lord, help us to be ready for the promised time when Jesus will call us home. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Brother David Johnson will now present a sermon entitled About Spiritual Gifts.
It's great to be together again as we look into the Word of God. And thank you for listening to these Words of Life radio broadcasts. The title for the lesson is About Spiritual Gifts. And our text is taken from the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. Please listen to our primary text. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. This is the Word of God. There have been immense changes in technology in the last even 25 years. One of the most obvious changes to us older ones is a growing shift from bigger is better to smaller is better. Remember the older Ford Lincoln Town Cars and the General Motors Cadillacs? They were big vehicles. Today, many of those same models, the Ford Lincolns and the General Motors Cadillacs, look more like SUVs or sport utility vehicles. Much smaller, more compact. It used to be that the biggest computer was the best computer, but not now. The smallest computer that fits in a briefcase is the best computer. I read about someone whose computer crashed. It wasn't something big that broke. It was one of the smallest parts. The technician explained that the defective part was smaller than a dime. Coin, a dime. Then the owner of the computer asked the really big question. How much is this going to cost to fix? Now, we should understand that not everything is getting smaller. Like prices of everything. The price to fix this dime size part was going to be huge. He complained, "That's more than I paid for the entire computer." The technician answered, "This part is small, but what it does is vital to the computer. Without it, the computer won't work." That's another gotcha in this crazy world. So what's the point to our study about spiritual gifts? The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, applicable to the church today, that every single spiritual gift God gives to his church, to individuals in his church, is valuable regardless of how sizable we might think each gift is. Even the perceived smallest and least spectacular spiritual gifts are important to the work of the church. I suspect that few lessons on spiritual gifts have been taught in many churches. Even where I am serving now, over the last 10 years, I haven't taught any lessons on this subject, at least not on Sunday morning sermon time, and only a few on Wednesday nights or Sunday nights when we also meet. So, in order to do justice to this subject, one needs really to do a series. So this lesson is just going to be touching the hem of the garment. Yet, it is an important introduction to our understanding of God's spiritual gifts given to believers in the church age. This subject impacts every primarily, but not exclusively, adult Christian. So it's high time to get into this kind of study for our personal application. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. Obviously, this first century church, which Paul himself planted at Corinth, in modern-day Greece, which was Greece then also, had significant ignorance about spiritual gifts, as do many Christians today. Yet this is a vital subject for the health and vitality of the church at large, as well as, of course, individual congregations. But it also remains a controversial subject for many reasons regarding spiritual gifts. In verses 2 and 3, it deals with the first century pagan background of these primarily Gentile Christians. Verses 2 and 3 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So we won't dwell on that except to touch on the first century context of the influence of pagan religions and pagan deities that had caused counterfeit spiritual manifestations induced, for example, through frenzied hypnotic chants and rituals. So what exactly are, generally speaking, spiritual gifts? These could be defined as divine, that is, God-given enablements for ministry that the Holy Spirit gives, in some measure, to all genuine born-again baptized believers, used for the building up of the church to the glory of God. These are spiritual gifts given upon being born again at salvation, apart from physical abilities, skills, or talents given at physical birth. Both types need to be exercised, physical talents and spiritual gifts, to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit, meaning that there are many and varied spiritual gifts, but only one same Holy Spirit who consistently works them all through believers as He, the Holy Spirit, directs. Verses 5 and 6. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. The American Standard Version 1901 Bible more accurately translates verses 5 and 6, which says, quote, "And there are diversities of ministrations, and the same Lord. And there are diversities of workings, but the same God who worketh all things in all." End of quote. So spiritual gifts are given to all genuine Christians, whether men or women. This diversity of spiritual enablements are given sovereignly only by God. We do not choose the ones we want, which are all to edify, to build each other up, and to honor our Lord. As we shall learn, the diversity or variety of spiritual gifts falls into two general types: speaking type gifts and serving type gifts. Although this is certainly not an exhaustive listing in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 or in other scriptures, the speaking or verbal type gifts deal with prophecy, knowledge, wisdom, teaching, preaching, and exhortation. The serving or non-verbal gifts deal with leadership, helps, giving, mercy, faith, and discernment. All the gifts are considered to be permanent giftedness and can operate throughout the church age regarding the non-miraculous gifts today. Many believers may be gifted categorically, similarly, to other believers, but nevertheless are personally unique as the Holy Spirit suits each gift to the individual. Some receive one spiritual gift, others more than one. Another type of category of spiritual gifts involves supernatural abilities, including miracles, healing, tongues, and the interpretation of tongues or other languages, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 9 and 10. Many scholars, however, believe these were temporary sign gifts, limited to roughly the apostolic age, and have therefore ceased. The miraculous gifts' primary purpose, having passed as sign gifts, were there, were used, were evident to authenticate or prove that the apostles and those they laid hands on and that their message or messages were true and authentic for the Word of God. This until their teaching was written down in the completed 27 books of the New Testament, as added to the Jewish Bible, the Old Testament, so that then all 66 books of the inspired Word of God were available. The non-miraculous gifts continue, as the Spirit gives believers unique ministry areas in which to fulfill their giftedness, in different kinds of service, verse 5. And in different kinds of working, verse 6. This could include today, in modern times, the spiritually centered application of computers and visual audio satellite systems for ministry purposes throughout the world. I have found that many Christians today claim that they either do not have a spiritual gift or don't know what their spiritual gift is. Consider what Scripture, that is, God, clearly reveals about all of this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The Apostle Paul has elaborated on the diversity of spiritual gifts and plainly that the distribution of at least one or more spiritual gifts are given to each believer without fail. It's up to the believers to discover their gift or gifts. Oftentimes, other mature believers can identify a person's spiritual gift. Surely, giftedness also relates to the opportunities God gives to believers to exercise and thus reveal one's spiritual gift or gifts. All believers receive the indwelling Holy Spirit without fail, or they're not true believers. All believers have the Holy Spirit indwelling them. Spiritual gifts, therefore, also confirm the presence of the Holy Spirit within his or her life. Note also that spiritual gifts of the Spirit are not principally for the edification of individuals who receive them, but instead for the good of all believers, the church at large. Many years ago, in another congregation, a woman came up to me after hearing a similar lesson on spiritual gifts and stated she just didn't know what her gift is. Now, I knew this individual fairly well and almost immediately told her what at least one of her gifts was and is. She, I believe, has the spiritual gift of mercy. We should understand that in the Bible, there are multiple lists of spiritual gifts. For example, consider Romans chapter 12 and verses 6 through 8, which says, "We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully." And of course, women in the church also can receive these gifts. Born-again baptized believers, all, male or female. Note verse 8 reveals, "If it is showing mercy, let him or her do it cheerfully. I also knew from the expression on her face that she was somewhat disappointed in this gift of mercy. Apparently, she was thinking it was minor, unimportant. Really? How many people do you know that genuinely are merciful? That is, show, express mercy toward others. And how many people need mercy? Not just the thought of mercy, but are given mercy verbally or in some other merciful action. Yes, the gift of mercy is a needful, useful, God-given spiritual gift. We should not demean any of the spiritual gifts. And obviously, there are more than one list of spiritual gifts in the New Testament. A young schoolgirl was trying out for a part in the school play. Her mother knew that she had set her heart on it, though she, the mother, was afraid she would not be chosen. On the day the parts were awarded, she drove to school to pick up her daughter. The young child rushed up to her mother, eyes beaming with excitement. Then she said some words that should remain a lesson to all of us. Quote, "I have been chosen to clap and cheer," end quote. In the same way, God has lovingly chosen each believer for different and special gifted enablements, gifted abilities to exercise for the good of all. No spiritual gift from God is too small or minor. All serve an important purpose in the life of the church. May we all exercise our spiritual gifts to the glory of God.
God has blessed us with a sermon that answers questions about His Word. You may write to us regarding what you have heard. You may have a free CD of this and last week's program by asking for CD 2336. That's 2336. And thank you for listening, and we pray that God will bless you and help you in your walk for Him. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing now.